Hello, welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Tunigan.
And we're coming at you with martial arts movies in cinemas once more. American cinemas, that is. If you live in China, you're probably like fucking raining men of like martial arts films every day. Just like, you're like, what do you mean? We got so many of them. We're looking actually to, you know, get rid of some and, you know, get some other kind of films in here and so on. But in America, we just don't get martial arts movies in cinemas much. We got a little taste of it this year with G.I. Joe, Snake Eyes earlier, which was totally amazing. You know, featuring all kinds of sweet, like, you know, not only Snake Eyes, but Storm Shadow, like martial arts action back and forth. But Shang-Chi's the other kind of real big one coming at us loud and hard. And, you know, I mean, I guess it's coming from Marvel, so it can come as loud and hard as it wants. But yeah, it's that weird thing that, like, when I think back in time, the only martial arts movies we've had in, like, the last, like, I don't know, handful of plus years is in 2000, I think it was 18, there was The Birth of the Dragon, the Bruce Lee movie where he faces Wong Jackman in San Francisco, which was really good, but that kind of just kind of came and went because that was just like a kind of like small movie there. And then before that, the only other real big one I can think of is RZA's Man of the Iron Fist. That was the other, because that was almost like the one I used to look at, like that was the last big one, was, you know, and I had Tarantino producing it, so I think that kind of made a difference. But
yeah, I'm wondering if these movies just started to drop off and not make as much money as they're projected to or hoping to or something like that, just because I do remember, like, yeah, Man with the Iron Fist, and the last subtitled movie I saw in theaters that was just at basic theaters, like back in Tuolumne County, was Fearless. I remember seeing Jet Li's Fearless in theaters, and that's like 2007 or something like that, so...
I was just going to say, well, I think the thing is this sounds kind of weird, but I think Asian popularity in America dropped off in the 2010s. Because, you know, it used to be back in the day, like when we were growing up, dude, it was like, you know, everything had to be Japanese or Chinese, something like that, especially because of video games, Pokemon, anime, manga, kung fu movies, like all that stuff made really popular. And then it just got to that point where you'd start talking to kids and they didn't play Japanese games anymore, and Japanese games kind of started to fade away. Even Japanese companies started making their games feel very European or American, you know, so it almost
DMC.
Yeah, so it started to loot, like people, like I think just the average audience didn't realize that that was Japanese anymore. They just thought it was like, oh, it must be like some strange, you know, Italian game or something like that, you know, or whatnot. And that's even stuff they kind of did, because I remember the last Castlevania games, like, they weren't even made by Japanese people anymore. They had, like, a Spanish, like, Italian company making them. So, it like, not that they're not good, but they didn't have that Japanese feel. You could tell right away that this isn't a Japanese game anymore.
Well, I feel like maybe, because, you know, I mean, there is already kind of, like, a resurgence of, like, martial arts stuff throughout the 90s. And I think, you know, I'm not going to say... bring it back to video games, not strictly. I think it came in a lot of different forms. I think with things like Street Fighter and then Jackie Chan,
Mortal Kombat
being a big deal, Jet Li just kind of coming onto the scene. I think a big combination of things made martial arts really cool for a while, and then maybe it was kind of dipping off, or people assumed to be dipping off. That's where Matrix comes out, in like, whoa, my God, this is amazing. And they had Yuen Wu Ping doing all the choreographing for the film. And then suddenly, like, because, you know, maybe he did choreograph a few American movies before that, but after Matrix, he did, like, a couple big American movies right in a row, back to back. So, I mean, he did the Kill Bill films, he did Unleashed, he did some Chinese films, of course. I think he did Hero, and maybe House of Flying Daggers, I don't remember. He's done hundreds of movies by this point, I think. But or at least had a hand in hundreds of movies by this point.
Yeah.
But so I think that maybe people felt... Cause I remember, I think people were getting tired of all, like, the kung fu and everyone knows martial arts, and that probably got expensive after a while, I imagine. Just like, okay, we got to take this many days out of the shooting schedule to train the actors how to do this, and then the movie isn't a Kill Bill or isn't a Matrix, so it doesn't make its money back. So maybe that's where it kind of came in. And plus, I remember people were getting tired. I remember, like, put a timestamp on it. I remember watching the special features to Transformers, to Terminator 3, Rise of the Machines, and somewhere in they're like, yeah, the action, it's none of that flowery kung fu bullshit, it's just robots smashing each other into a fucking wall. So, you know, which I know they didn't mean nothing by it, but it's like, you know, wearing a Bruce Lee shirt watching that, I was kind of like, hey,
Yeah, exactly. Well, because it's like, I think that like the first kind of big one of like that, I call it like almost like the next wave. Because, you know, there's a few waves, because it seems like there's, you know, there's the Bruce Lee wave in the 70s that kind of brings kung fu movies. Then they dip down for a bit. But then in the 80s, there's kind of like the ninja craze that comes in, you know, followed with like Ninja Turtles and all that kind of stuff in the 90s and so on. Then it dips once more. But then it comes back with, I think this sounds kind of weird, but Rush Hour, I feel, is kind of the big. Because that's the Jackie Chan movie that really made Jackie Chan literally a household name. Not saying they didn't have movies before that got translated, you know, and dubbed in the U.S., but they just. They were sort of there, but, like, you had to look for them. It was, like, they were more, like, an eclectic, you know, that fit in, like, the guy who, like, has seen every action movie, and so now he's on to, like, Chuck Norris and Jackie Chan and, you know, so on and so on. But once Rush Hour came out, like, everyone knew who Jackie Chan was, and that, I think, kind of started the big boom. It let Jet Li kind of come to the U.S. after Lethal Weapon 4 and start making more kung fu movies. Then The Matrix, I think, really hits it home hard. It's like, hey, it's kung fu, it's sci-fi, it's a good movie, it's going to make you think. It's got cool action in it. They're all wearing black. You don't know this, but this is what all the 2000s is going to look like. You know.
Hope you like Underworld, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's like one of those ones, I think all that kind of comes together. And like anything, it's like everything's going to take a dip at some point, you know? And I think it's just that thing is the martial arts kind of fell off the radar sort of in about, like, you know, mid, late 2000s, you know? And then it's like they almost just kind of went away from the 2010s. I'm not saying there's, of course, there's stuff in China and, you know, Japan and all that kind of stuff. Not saying it doesn't exist there, but just, like, existing, like, you could go down to any cinema like in America and at least be able to find a kung fu movie a couple times throughout the year, that just kind of just went away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of like, well, I guess it was almost kind of like, I mean, they haven't died out yet. They've been probably been hanging around longer than, not kung fu as a genre, but just kung fu and martial arts movies, their time in America, their span, like their waves.
Uh-huh.
I feel like superhero movies have almost been around longer than the, let's just say, the kung fu movie craze. The kung fu movie craze or martial arts movie craze comes in waves, where I think comic book movies have been fairly consistent for the last 20 years, it seems. So, or like 15 years or so.
Pretty much since the X-Men, because that's sort of the next wave of comic book movies. You know, you kind of have Superman, doesn't really create any other wave of comic book movies for the most part, other than some straight-to-TV movies. Then you got Batman 89, creates a momentary kind of like wave, then it kind of dips down again, and then it's like X-Men comes again. So, but then it goes straight. And the thing about superheroes, I just think the difference between a superhero movie and other stuff is people put it in like it's like a straight genre, but like a superhero movie can be so many different things. That's, I think, it just happens to have people that have either superpowers or super training, I guess is the best way to sort of say it.
I agree with that. I think it's just one of those things where for a time you could call it its own genre. Maybe you can to a certain extent.
Yeah.
But the smart thing about superhero movies by now is all the ones that have lasted, they're not just a generic superhero movie anymore. This movie's a martial arts movie. Mm-hmm. This one over here is a conspiracy movie. This one's a murder mystery movie. This one's a old-timey Western to a certain extent, or like a modern-day Western or something like that. So it's kind of like by now they just, okay, if we go in with the mindset of, oh, it's comic booky, woo, then suddenly that's where people get a little bit more like, it's harder to take it seriously. Where these, Marvel has like humor in their movies, but I think they found that right balance. Sometimes there are jokes that don't always land, but I think they found that right balance of, if we take it too seriously, nobody's going to take us seriously. But if we make a few enough jokes to catch people off guard who are a little hesitant going in, mm-hmm. that can warm up to those people. And I mean, as far as going into this movie, Shang-Chi, Legend of the Ten Rings, I'll say I liked it. I thought it was pretty fun. It wasn't my favorite Marvel movie. I still thought it was a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, this is just me on a. I think there's a few jokes that don't land, but I don't think the humor is all that bad in the movie. Just because I know that's always the thing we always talk about in Marvel films. But I'll just say this real quick before handing it off to you. Even though I would consider this a martial arts movie, I feel like, I guess this is the difference. I guess I was hoping for something like, I know I always go to these ones, but I guess I was hoping for like Fearless or Unleashed. Well, Unleashed has a big lull of no action, but Fearless or Ung Bak or, I mean, I know there's always the kind of the lull, but I feel like when the fights happen, they happen for a while. Where this, the fights happen and they're great,
mm-hmm.
but aside from like two scenes, I feel like they're over pretty quickly.
Well, and that's the thing, is this movie's not made like a martial arts movie in a sense. It's a movie, mm-hmm. it's made kind of like a traditional kind of American action movie where you have almost like the three big fights, you know, throughout the movie, and then there's space between a lot more like dialogue scenes and so on. It has martial arts in it, but it's not made like a martial arts film. So that kind of changes. And then also you also have the mysticism, magic, / kind of superhero thing, which, you know, it's cool, but you're almost kind of like at the same time, like, I was more impressed with the bus scene than, like, you know, them riding on dragons at the end. Not saying that that's not cool, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. I didn't know you guys were going to never ending story this shit, but at the same time,
yeah.
Can we go back to the bus
scene? Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, the bus scene is like one of those ones, like, if you had more stuff like that, I think, well, it's one of those ones, too, I think. It's that thing. I think it's that one that's like, it's a superhero movie, so they feel like they gotta have superhero like type stuff in here. But it's that kind of thing that, like, you could do just a straight martial arts one, and I think you could win people over just with that alone. You don't almost need like the whiz pow bang kind of like thing. But they're like, I think there's that thing. It's like, well, it's a Marvel movie, you know what I mean? If it doesn't have a little bit of that in there, people are gonna be kind of thrown off.
Well, I'll be 100% honest. I know very little about the Mandarin. I know very little about Shang-Chi. The only comic I've read that he's in is there's a volume of Ultimate Spider-Man, so it's not even Shang-Chi proper, where Daredevil makes their own weird makeshift Defenders team. It's Spider-Man, Daredevil, Doctor Strange, Iron Fist, and Shang-Chi. And I remember it being pretty good. I think they're going against Kingpin or something, you know. But that's all I really knew of him. And I liked him from what I read of that. But beyond that, I really know nothing about him. So it was kind of cool going into a major motion picture based on a Marvel property where the only two characters I really knew a whole lot, not even a whole lot, but I knew enough about going in was Wong and Abomination.
Yeah, exactly. Kind of like that. Well, I mean, that's the thing. Is this is one of those weird characters that's kind of like, he comes from like the, when everybody had to have their kind of Bruce Lee character, you know, in the 70s and so on. And like this Shang-Chi is not even really like, it's realistically, it's like from 2015 on up, that's like what this Shang-Chi is all based off of. Like everything kind of prior is almost like Marvel sort of lost because they were using characters that they don't own anymore. Because he was actually originally related to like Fu Manchu and everything like that. So they tied it into all these other kind of martial arts stories. And then they didn't have the rights to any of that stuff. So they're like, shit, we got to kind of redo this. Well, how about we make the Mandarin his father instead? You know what I mean? Like we got that character and so on. You know what I mean? We'll kind of rework that story and so on. So he's almost this brand new, different character than he, as far as like the historical kind of version is. I mean, generally the same guy, but he had his origin and the characters around him have changed completely as time has gone on.
It's kind of like the, even though I never read it, it's apparently the Guardians of the Galaxy movies. That's based on the 2008, 2006, 2007, whenever it was. That iteration of Guardians of the Galaxy. Because original Guardians, I think, goes back to the 60s or 70s. And maybe the only original member in the movie is, like, Yondu and maybe Rocket.
I think Rocket's kind of the old one, but...
Yeah, Yondu and Rocket, I think, are the only two that are in that. And then they're going more off of the Brian Michael Bendis run. So, I guess that's kind of what this is. And I'll say that, like, the more I'm thinking about it, you know, I just said, I liked it, I wasn't blown away, but I liked it. The more I'm thinking about it, I kind of like a little more, so who knows, maybe in a year, like, oh, I don't know what I was saying, it's my favorite movie, I don't know. But I think that going into it, I listened to a couple of reviews ahead of time, and the thing I heard a lot of people saying, and I get why they say this, but I heard a lot of people saying, the first half is amazing, second half is good enough, which... I see why they say that, but at the same time, I feel like since we got more of those flashbacks in the second half, filling out the Mandarin, I feel like that was enough to coast on, and that made it a little more... because I really liked his story. So, seeing the part after his... Spoilers. Seeing the part after his... they killed his mom, and he goes in there, and he just brings his kid. Let's take your kid to work day, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I liked all those flashbacks. Like, because I'll say this, like, I liked the whole movie all the way through. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, I probably felt like I was going to, like, I was almost building it up. Probably just because I was like, oh, kung fu movie in cinemas. Like, I thought it was going to be like, almost, like, you know, super amazing. And I just enjoyed it. Like, it was a very good movie. That's how I would say. Like, I enjoyed it. Like, you know, as far as, like, even the Marvel ones go, I would say maybe, like a top 15 one. I don't know. I've only seen it once, so who knows. But, like, you know, it was higher up than, like, a lot of other ones, I definitely will say. you know, I did kind of enjoy it there. I mean, I was also kind of scared because I didn't know that Awkwafina lady was in it. And then, like, right when I was in the cinema, she comes up and she's talking beforehand. I'm like, oh, no, she's going to be in here. I'm like, it's going to be like Thor all over again. That was all I was thinking. It's like, she's going to be the Kat Dennings chick. I just fucking know it. Like, she's going to have a real, lot of dumb lines. And then she had a few dumb lines in the beginning, and then that was it. It was, like, past that point, she actually wasn't that bad. So I was like, okay, because when she was in, like, the Raya and the Last Dragon stuff, it was just one of those ones, like, I don't know, her humor is just so weird because, like, because that was, I didn't know anything about her. I just knew that Raya and the Last Dragon, so I didn't even know what she looked like. Because I'm like, that lady just sounds like a 55-year-old, like, lady who, like, shows up at, like, a 15-year-old's boys' party and is, like, drinking, you know, beers and so on and trying to pick up on the 15-year-olds. Like, hey, what are you guys doing? And they're all, oh,
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Nothing. Like, could you please get your mom off me? Like, ah, no, it's okay. Come on, I got a bed in the back room. What are you kids doing tonight?
That's the voice
Well, that's how she, like, talks. So she has this, like, really rough voice. And then you see what she looks like. She's like, she's literally the same age as me. But she sounds like she's smoked, like, cigarettes for, like, 40 years. And so in this movie, though, was that kind of thing. I was like, oh, great. Like I kid you not. Like, the first time, like, once I saw that little preview before, I'm like, she's going to be the make or break part of this movie. I just know it's that's going to be the tough one. And then, as I said, yeah, she said a couple dumb lines in the beginning. And then after that, oddly, it wasn't that bad. I was like, okay. I think she's fine. I think as long as people, like, tone her down, you know, because she has that problem that she could be almost like a Kevin Hart character. Because that's how Kevin Hart is. If Kevin Hart gets toned down or The Rock's there to slap him around, then he's fine. But if he's kind of let to his own devices, he gets really annoying real fast. He just feels like the short knockoff version of Chris Tucker.
I was gonna say I haven't seen enough things with her in it to like really dislike her. I've never disliked her. She's never been like a make or break for me. She didn't bother me so much in Raya, the Last Dragon or whatever it was. It was just kind of she was kind of there for me. She was there for me. She was just kind of there, you know? But at the same time, there's apparently a movie that she's really good in that kind of, because, you know, before there were some complaints about, like, you've had, you know, I've heard some people say that, but then she was apparently in some independent movie or a Chinese film called The Goodbye, and it's more of just a straightforward, heavy drama, and I heard she's really good in that. So since then, she's been popping up in a lot more since. But,
well, as I said, like, there's a lot of those kind of actresses and actors like that can literally, like, you just got to put them in the right roles, and I think it can change a lot. It's like Kevin Hart. It's like, because that was, like, one of the guys at first was like, man, this guy's so annoying in movies and so on like that. And then it's like, I remember seeing, it just sounds like weird. There was that movie, it was the first one he was in with The Rock, and it was like,
I know what you're talking about, but I forgot what it's called.
I want to say it's like something, it starts with like a C, like The Conspiracy, but it's not like that. Something with like a...
Does The Rock wear like a fat suit at some point in the movie when he's like he was like a nerdy kid in high school and now he's like a secret agent
or
some shit?
Yes, yeah, that's
the one. That's all I remember from the trailer.
And Kevin Hart was like the cool guy and now he's just kind of the loser. So it kind of like almost balanced him out there. And then also there was that one where it was like him and the guy from Breaking Bad.
Bryan Cranston.
Yeah, Bryan Cranston. There was that one was pretty good too where like he was like taking care of him. Where it's just Bryan Cranston, like this rich guy, and they're like, what are you doing? There's just this guy who's just like, you know, came off the street, just like, he just needed any job, and he just like signed up. He's like, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, I want him. He's going to push me around in my wheelchair and feed me and do all this stuff. He's not even trained for it. I don't give a fuck. I'm rich. You know, there. So
I had all
like,
that meth money laying around.
Yeah. He's like, the downfall is I took the meth once, and since then I've been in a wheelchair. Don't get high off your own stuff. I didn't learn that lesson from Scarface.
That pan-up shot at the end of Breaking Bad? Turns out I just got shot in the spine. It just fucked my legs. I actually survived that, and turns out I got a really good lawyer, too. So, here I am.
Yeah.
Crime pays, kids.
Yeah, I didn't get Saul this time. But yeah, so it's like I'm not saying that I think that the Awkwafina lady can work. It's just like, yeah, as long as it's just not it's not like a weird – she's just got weird, goofy lines. I think she'll be totally fine. But yeah, as I said, in this one, yeah, she wasn't too bad. And even there was just some jokes that people made kind of later on towards her. It's just like, okay, that kind of works for what her character is and so on. Like even like when like the very end where she's like grabs the bow and arrow and it's almost that thing where it's like, oh, it's going to be one of these like corny things where it's like, oh, here comes the person who fucking learned like 2 hours ago. And I like how that old guy's like, fuck it. Come on out. Let's see what happens. Just like, yeah, we're at that point. We're losing people left and right. You know what? If you want to shoot a bow and arrow, go for it.
no one really likes you, so if you get taken off the table that quickly, it's fine. You know?
Yeah, exactly. It's like one of those things.
The only one that really likes you is the Chosen One, and we don't really like him that much. He's just kind of, you know, it's lineage, I guess.
Yeah, it's only, and I think it's one of those ones, he only really likes you because you just kind of work together. It's just that kind of weird kind of relationship.
Something I was going to mention earlier is the Mandarin. They do, I think, because in the comics, I want to say the rings are actually literally rings on his finger, and each one is a different ability. And if I remember correctly, I think it's something, and who knows, he may have retconned or changed it, but I think it's something to the effect of, like, he encountered some kind of, like, alien technology, and people thought it was magic, but it's actually just sci-fi technology shit. Mm-hmm. And this, though, and each finger has a different ability. Where this, it's just like nunchuck shit, catching back, you know what I mean? I even saw there's the sign, there's the poster for Kung Fu Hustle. So I thought of the guy, the tailor guy in Kung Fu Hustle, who had all the rings going up and down his arms, using the block and fight with.
Yeah, well, I think that's what they kind of did. I think they sort of just wanted to simplify it into something that was just kind of like, hey, it's just, you put these 10 rings on, you kind of get, you know, Hadouken powers and so on like that, you know, and that's kind of how it is. I will say, I do like how they sort of also took, like, the Mandarin from, like, Iron Man 3 and just kind of, like, gave that way more, like, backstory and, like, what that was all kind of about. And I felt like that made Ben Kingsley's character work, like, 10 times more. It's just, like, the fact, like, yeah, I was just an actor, you know, I thought I was getting this cool job and I got really into my role, kind of became a terrorist, and here I am. Like, and I liked him a lot in this, too.
Well, even, like, some of his, like, there's, even though it's kind of, like, a little over-the-top humor, the part where he's talking about, I'm a, like, because he has, like, such proper, eloquent, like, you know,
Shakespearean, like acting voice.
Ways of talking, yeah. It's just like, magic was first presented to me in the cinema of 1963. My mother took me to see Planet of the Apes, and my mother, and I asked my mother, my God, mother, how did they train those monkeys to do it? She says, it's all fake, it's all acting, with you. Like, they taught those monkeys to speak and really ride the horse? Like, no, they weren't monkeys riding the horse. They were just acting to ride the horse. Brilliant. You know, just, like, no one corrects him. Like, follow your dream, man.
Yeah. From that one, like, you know, he'll figure it out eventually, you know, 50 years later.
Yeah. While he hugs that thing that was basically made to be a stuffed animal to sell at Disneyland. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked like the walking ottoman.
Yeah. I guarantee you the people are going to make, like, the whatever that thing's name was, they're going to have, like, ottomans of that probably for,
yeah,
like,
I was so surprised that nobody used, I'm like, okay, like, there was a joke opportunity. I'll even say this, the Awkwafina chick could have had that joke in there a bit, like, that looks like an ottoman, or, like, they never mentioned, I'm like, just a lost little joke right there. I mean, shit, you're going to throw jokes in there anyways.
Well, I thought it was a funny throwaway joke when they see that thing come walking around. And he says, oh, he is real. I thought I was going crazy. He just picks it up.
He's my only friend I talk to.
But let's see. What was I going to say? I was actually looking up the guy who played Mandarin, Tony. I'm probably going to mispronounce this. Tony Chu Wai Leung. Mm-hmm. That dude, I actually want to see this even more now. He was in the original film that inspired The Departed. So I want, like,
oh,
okay,
the,
was he,
what's that called?
Infernal Affairs.
Yeah, Infernal Affairs. I have, like, the second one of it for some weird reason. It's just, like, I saw it for, like, $2. I'm like, well, one of these days I'll run across the first one, and I just never have.
Yeah, so I want to know, is he Matt Damon or is he Leo DiCaprio? Because he's in top billing. So, maybe, I don't know, maybe he's Jack Nicholson, who knows. But, yeah, I just, one little thing I noticed. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. He's linked to one of my, well, kind of links to one of my favorite movies. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those ones I've always looked at that movie. I'm like, I got to watch that somewhere. As I said, I literally have the second one sitting somewhere around here. And then I decided I'd run across the first one day. I was like, I'm not going to hardcore look for it, but I'm going to, if it just appears, I know I have the second one already, and then I just haven't found it yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those ones where I bought it for like $2. I'm like, I'll look on Amazon. Oh, it's $10 on Amazon? Oh, Jesus Christ.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, it's just like one of those ones. Like, I want to see it, but I think there's a third one too, even.
I'm just now noticing Shang-Chi, he's still listed as Sean in this. Like, yeah, that's going to be a long thing to write on the script. So just Sean. We'll call it good.
Yeah, just the old Shang-Chi character, you know. But yeah, it's like overall this one, like, it still had, like, a lot of cool, like, scenes, a lot of cool action in it and so on. Even that kind of, like, when they go to, like, China after a while And so I guess this kind of just starts off as they almost look like two losers who are just, like, hanging out. Like, well, two losers have, like, just a regular job. I don't know why. The movies always refer to that, like, oh, they just have a regular job. A bunch of fucking losers. If they're not doctors or lawyers, they're a fucking failure to society.
Well, I'll say this. Living in San Francisco for 6 years, if you were, like, 20-something and you're hanging out with other 20-somethings that worked in tech or worked in finance or something, there would be a little bit of that energy. So, yeah. I'm not saying that's...
They definitely had the very yuppie, like, San Francisco people, like, when they had, like, that little, like, thing. They're like, yeah, you know, because there's, like, that yuppie couple that they keep running into, which is almost like... It's like the... It feels like that's, like, the...
Why are you hanging out with these people?
The stereotypical, like, the people that, like... I always feel like those are the Bay Area people that everybody in the rest of California fucking hates.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
When I saw those people there, I'm like, that's the people that everybody else is like, oh, those fucking turkeys are showing up. You know what I mean?
These jive-ass turkeys.
You know,
coming
it's
in
just...
here talking about exchange rates and stocks and shit.
Well, they're not even probably talking about that even, too. They're probably talking about just, like, all kinds of other, like, you know, nonsense and so on. But it almost had that, like, Black Panther thing where it's like, okay, you know, like, we'll start off, and instead of, like, being in Oakland, which is, you know, like, which they felt like a Black Panther, like, you know, the black people's home of, you know, California, we'll go to where the Chinese people's home is in California, Chinatown!
Well, here's even the thing with that. I'm not trying to split hairs on it, but I was trying to kind of place certain things, because whenever there's a movie that takes place somewhere you know, mm-hmm. you're trying to place, like, is this shot on a lot somewhere with a green screen, or is that really... location. And there were some things I can tell were location, but I was like, wait, so he lives in Chinatown, but he's taking the California One bus from... It already passes Chinatown.
I don't think he lived in Chinatown. I think he lived outside of it.
Like the Richmond District or something?
Because he was coming down California Street, so he must have been coming from, like, those neighborhoods, like, way out going towards, maybe not Ocean Beach exactly, but, like, felt like it was there.
Richmond District is what that would be. But,
well, that's one part of it, so, like, there's that kind of stuff. And I think that's almost, like, what it was supposed to be. Like, he didn't live in there, and he just came into town to, like, pick up, Awkwafina, she lived in Chinatown, because then he would come to pick her up for some, I don't know what, he picks her up, though he's on a bus.
Well, I was, like, looking out the bus. I was actually looking out the bus window. I should have been watching one of the best, like, fight scenes put on screen this whole year. But instead, there are moments I was really looking at out the window while he's trying to dodge punches. Like, yeah, I know that building. I know that building. Don't pass this shit. I'm not trying to, like, be that nitty. I'm not trying to, like, pick it apart that much. But there's just some of that thing, just trying to kind of place it. And I think it was a little, like, you know... Not dead on, but I don't think any movie's ever really going to be dead on with that. Because, like, look, it's about the fucking fight. Shut the fuck up and watch it. Yeah,
I know. Well, it's just the small things that sound like, hey, the Bush Street Market's still there. All right. You know? It was just, like, those little ones that you'd kind of catch. Like, oh, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Like that's, like, the same area where, like, Nicolas Cage crashes the car and The Rock.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
It's, like, right there in front of that. The Bush Street Market, which is just, like, just like a kind of like almost a hole in the wall, little just like, you know, it's not where any like the fancy people would go. It's kind of just like this, the light little like hangout. If you want like a casual mom and pop 7-Eleven, that's what it is. Go get your
Man,
top ramen
you
and like your off brand Pepsi.
You just fucked up your Ferrari.
But yeah, I know that's what I was doing too. It's like whenever there's that kind of thing, you just see streets and so on. You're like, let's look out the window. I mean, I know there's a fight going on, and there's a guy with like a, you know, a laser sword coming out of his arm. But you know, whatever.
Majority of these films are usually filmed like in Georgia or like on a soundstage somewhere. You know what I mean? In front of a green screen. So yeah, I mean, I know some of it was on. I'm not sure if they were actually at any point really.
The backgrounds were probably shot differently from like the. The inside the bus stuff, like it was all kind of just, you know, sewn together.
Yeah. But no, we're just talking about the things around it, which no one probably gives a shit. But no, the bus scene, I think that's one of the things about the movie. The bus scene is, I mean, going wrong, the fight between him and his father at the end is a badass fight.
Mm-hmm.
But the bus scene is, like, easily, like, the coolest part of the whole movie. So I think that's also one of the problems, because that does feel like, all right, this is a, not just because they're doing kung fu, but this is like a martial arts scene right out of a martial arts movie, where usually every time they fight, you would get like like four of those scenes and then like smaller fights in another martial arts movie. Where this one, it's just kind of like, here's one big long one and then maybe quick little bits throughout the rest of the movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because from that point on, like, you know, it's not until like he has to go to China and whatnot, and then they go to, like, the underground, you know, or I guess it's underground, but it's above ground because it's like at the top floor, you know, the above ground fighting arena. You know, and that one's kind of interesting because they walk in there and it's just like all these people play some bets and whatnot. And they got these random ass characters kind of fighting each other and just kind of monsters and so on. And then he goes in there and, you know, finds his sister character, which is our, like, other kind of main character of this here. You know, mm-hmm. And he has to sort of fight her, not to the death, but, like, you know, just puts her in a battle there. I do like because there was that one guy that, like, was, like, the kind of, like, the hip little Chinese guy and whatnot. And when they come out of the elevator and he's speaking Chinese and stuff, and Aquafina's like, well, I don't really speak that much Chinese. He's like, that's okay. I speak ABCs.
Well, I was going to say, that whole scene, I'm kind of trying to place this movie. Because I remember hearing people talk about it, like, this took place after Infinity War, but before Endgame. But watching it, when you see that mid-credit sequence, because even though, spoilers, even though Banner is not Hulk, he has his arm in a sling. So, and then you also have, but that leads me to another question. Why is Wong and Abomination, of all characters, working together to stage fights?
Yeah, that's the movie I wanted to see. I felt like there was some weird hustle going on there, just like...
I mean, it would be funny because, like, you know, he's always enlightened, and the whole thing with Wong in the movies is he's always straight-faced, but he has, like, this one... Because, you know, in the first Doctor Strange movie, he's straight-faced the whole time, and then like, you know, not laughing about anything. And then Doctor Strange makes the most dumb, like, punny line, like... not making a big deal of it, and then Wong cracks up, nearly dying of laughter, and everyone's like, he thought that was funny, you know? So that's kind of the thing with him. He just has these weird little quirks. So I'm wondering, like, when he's not, like, meditating, he's okay, let's go make some money on the side.
Yeah, let's go teleport Ed. Yeah, I know, that was, like, almost, like, one of the most interesting parts of this, like, they really didn't address too much on there. They just really left a lot of questions open.
I mean, apparently, I mean, I guess it's also like, look, let's get Abomination in here, but we don't have to pay Tim Roth. It's just a monster.
Yeah, we'll make the CG version, yeah.
He's apparently going to be in the She-Hulk show, so who knows how that's going to come about. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, but yeah, no, that scene was kind of cool there. And then I guess you could kind of say, because after that, that's where the action kind of dips down a bit, and we get, like, a lot more backstory. We learn more about Shang-Chi and his sister's kind of dad and so on. And in some scenes, it seems like his dad's, like, very harsh, and the other scenes, like, I love you, son. And then it's back to being like, now go kill this person. You're 14. Be a fucking man.
Well, that's what I liked about it, because I feel like sometimes in those kind of characters, they make it like he is all bad, but he's still my father. I wish him the best, you know? And then there's other times where it's just kind of like they make him almost too sympathetic. But in this one, I thought it was like a good middle ground where he was like a good dad at a certain point in time. Just wrapped with grief, he went back to his old ways. And even just seeing them as a family, they're like playing DDR and just kind of like watching Netflix or whatever. And then, you know, one day he just... I do think it's kind of... I mean... It's not meant to be funny, but I think it's kind of funny. It's like, you sat there and watched your mother die! Like, I was six.
Yeah, just be like, there was like 50 fucking assassins there. I don't know what you want me to do.
But I just love that scene after that happens. It's like, okay, son, let's bring your kid to work day. Watch me fuck these guys up. Just walks in there, like, kills everybody. And then I like how it even, like, just focuses on the kid, pulls out, and you see the fight happening in the mirror.
Yeah, no, that scene's really cool right there and so on. Because there's a lot of those, like, really neat little moments and so on. And then it's almost like, so, Shang, you want to do what Daddy does?
Want to kill people with Daddy today?
Well, yeah. We're going to go get revenge for your mom, right? That's fucking damn right.
Yeah, I guess so. God damn it. Don't be that Shinji kid. I'm teaching you to punch, not fly a fucking robot, okay?
Yeah. I'll get you a box of nerds if you go punch the wooden pole for the next 5 hours.
I'll get you a box of nerds if you go beat up a nerd. How's that sound?
Yeah, shit. You go beat up that Shinji person. You want to go to Japan?
It's like... Call my buddy Wong. He'll get us there in a teleporter thing.
I know he's probably a little bit older than you, but I'm pretty sure that your, like, six-year-old body could kick his ass still.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could take him.
But I actually liked all that backstory stuff. I thought that was cool. I liked even when, like, the Mandarin talked about, like, you know, finding, you know, his wife, and they go to that cool, like green palace area and whatnot, and she challenged him to a fight, and, you know, he comes in there. Almost, in a weird way, he has almost, like, more of, like, it feels like he's still doing Chinese kung fu, but it has, like, almost, like, a more of a karate, like, angry sort of stance, like, thing, and then she's got that very flowy Tai Chi type, like, martial arts, where, like, she's always dodging and, like, reversing and so on, and it's almost, and then it's almost like where the Mandarin's like, that was the one person who can beat me, so I married her!
Well, I like that whole bit.
You know, if a man would have beat me, I probably would have married him, too. Just saying. That's who your father is. He's a stand-up kind of guy.
Who beats who? That's who's sucking whose dick.
So I sucked your dick that night. What? Yeah, you heard me.
What a hell of a woman. I think we need more context, Dad, like when you're older.
You want to get it yet, boy? Get your dad a beer.
Just use the ring thing to just fling one across the room and grab it. That I was gonna say the whole thing with the mom, like, cause yeah, I think that's supposed to be like a big homage to, like, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Hero, that kind of thing. Cause there's like whenever I see kung fu fighting happening and there's fucking leaves flying everywhere, I'm like, oh, Hero, okay.
Yeah. You
know? But at the same time, I thought it worked, and they kind of have, like, you know, like a lot of scenes like that in other martial arts movies, they kind of like make a dance out of it more than anything else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even speaking of that, because it's like, once we get farther in the movie, we get Michelle Yao comes in there, which, for the longest time, I'm like, dude, her name's in the credits. Where the hell is she at? It's been like an hour and 20 minutes, and she still hasn't, like, appeared yet.
She's been popping up in a lot of stuff recently. She was actually in that Netflix movie, Gunpowder Milkshake. Hmm. And so she's just been, I'm glad, because I haven't seen, I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure she's been filming, I'm sure she's doing a bunch of, like, Chinese films and all that, but as far as American movies go, I haven't seen her in a while, so I was so glad to see her in this.
Well, because I was just thinking of her, like, the main thing I think of her from is, like, there's two things. I mean, Tomorrow Never Dies, of course, because she's a Bond girl in that, and then there's, I always think of Super Cop, or, like, Police Story 3, because that's always the one where it's, like, the action scenes she has in that, like, she literally does a stunt where she jumps a motorcycle onto a moving train. Like, come on. Like,
yeah.
That's like one of those ones where it's like, holy fucking crap.
She was also in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Yeah.
And then, 007. There's more that are getting by.
You know what, I'm going to say this. Like, I tried to watch Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon again. That's like one of the one kung fu movies that, like, was, like, so huge in America. And I just think that one's okay. I never thought that one was really that amazing. I don't know. I tried to get into it again. I'm like, maybe there was something I was missing when I was a kid and so on. And I watched it just, like, maybe, like, 6 months ago or something like that. I was like, no. It's like, I love Chow Yun-Fat. I like Michelle Yao. There's, like, all kinds of stuff in there. But, like, I don't know. It's like, I feel like that's almost like a martial arts movie that has that weird kind of, like, of course, it's got the wire foo stuff. So you always got to kind of wrap your mind around that, too. But then it's like, I don't know. It has, like, the problem of, like, almost like something in certain American movies where it's like, can we get some more, like, punching and kicking going on here at some point? You know what I mean? Like, we had a cool action scene, and then all of a sudden we stopped for, like, 30 minutes and did nothing.
I feel like what that movie is trying to be, it's trying to be kind of like a Chinese tragedy, kind of Shakespearean type of thing. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm guessing it's going for. And it's also weird thinking about that movie, because, like, that's by the guy who made Brokeback Mountain and Hulk. You know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, like, I don't have any desire really to throw that movie back on. Just because I've already seen it a few times, and, you know, I liked it, but I prefer my, I mean, I don't know, I guess I could watch, like, you know, Agent Smith and Neo fly and punch around, like Goku and Dragon Ball Z and all that kind of shit, but I guess when it's live action, majority of the time, I'm like, let's keep this shit on the ground and just punch each other that way, you know, and the whole wire foo thing, I don't dislike it, it's just not a preference, and I think it's more of, like, a slow burn, like, drama combined with martial arts.
I think that's sort of it. Is it's like, it gets sold sort of as a martial arts movie, but it's realistically not really a martial arts film. It's more like a drama first and foremost, kind of like a drama romance that happens to have some, you know, kung fu scenes.
Mm-hmm. Which this one, there's some shit that's kind of goof. Like, I liked A House of Flying Daggers. I mean, the whole thing where they fly the dagger, like, like the Captain Boomerang don't got shit on me. They throw these daggers around, like just they're so precise they catch them. Like, oh, good thing I'm so good at ricocheting shit off bamboo and like shields. But at the same time, the hand to hand combat in the movie, I remember being pretty good. And there's a part because the girl's supposed to be blind in the movie, and there's a part where they're like, wait. You're not blind? No, I'm not fucking blind. You think I could do all that shit if I was fucking blind? They don't say it like that, of course, but it comes off that way.
Yeah. No, I haven't seen that one in a long time either. Or I remember, because Hero was one of those ones that saw that in theaters. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh shit, new Jet Li movie? I'm there.
And it was kind of similar in that whole Wire Fu kind of aspect. I like Hero more than probably Crouching Tiger,
I think. Yeah, I liked it way more than that. But, like, yeah, it definitely was still in that, like, I guess that very overly stylized one. Which I think that also almost, like, because it's like, hey, like, I think, like, Americans fucking love Crouching Tiger. And then it's like they brought more of them out. And it's like, oh, that only worked once. You know, the average American doesn't like that, apparently.
Well, I was just thinking, like, the thing they sold Crouching Tiger, not Crouching Tiger, Hero on, is, like, a million arrows being shot from the sky and coming down on Jet Li, and he just closes his eyes, like, oh, he's gonna knock all that shit out the way! And then all of a sudden, like, oh, he doesn't. Like, that's like selling Braveheart on freedom! About that part, like, showing that in the trailer.
Yep. No, I think that is actually kind of fun. That's funny how that trailer kind of went down. So I just like really building that up, and it's like, oh shit, nope, that's not what's going on there.
Because that happens at the end of the movie too. You're just sitting there, we see all the arrows go up, like, oh fuck, he's gonna do it, he's gonna fucking do.
Nope.
Oh, you see a silhouette where there's not arrows. Like, oh, that shit didn't pan out. They're just wheeling his body out like a dead ass porcupine.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, I should bust that movie out again. I have it on DVD somewhere. I haven't seen that in 15 years, probably.
But when they go to the whole, because I guess that kind of goes into Asian mysticism, and this one doubles down on the Asian mysticism, but like, let's keep the Wire Fu stuff out of it. I mean, they could bounce each other off with the rings or whatever, but let's keep it on the ground for the most part. I actually didn't really mind all the creature type shit. I heard people kind of like, some people saying they were rolling their eyes at that. I'm like, I didn't really mind that. I thought that was cool.
I liked it.
I prefer the Chinatown fights, if I'm being 100% honest. But, I mean, that was still cool. But I'm not going to lie. When they first rolled in there, I'm like, is this like the first level out of Pokemon Snap?
Yeah, I know. That's what it almost kind of looked like. But that is the thing that too, especially when they're like in the car and so on like that. And they're all these like, you know, walking by just looking at them and so on. Like, just like, yeah, pull up that camera right now and something. But,
Ninetales.
Yeah, like literally as in like a nine tails there and so on. But like I still thought that was kind of neat in its own way. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. You know, you got this kind of mystic world and so on. That gave me like the real feeling though, like where it had a lot of like that Black Panther thing. Like, hey, by the way, here's this hidden place that nobody else knows about. You know, and it's super advanced, you know, except for like this one's like, yeah, like 40 people live here in this one. But
yeah, I think they're trying to do that, Cole. I think they looked at how like profitable Crazy Rich Asians was. Like, well, let's grab the Awkwafina lady from that movie, throw her in this, and just do. I think they're trying to make it like the Asian Black Panther to some extent. I think that's how they're trying to present this thing as.
Yeah. Well, I hate to kind of say it, but it's almost that one where, like, shit, we had all these plans for Black Panther. We're going to need a new Black Panther. Asian Black Panther. That's what we're going to do.
We're going to call it that? We'll look at our characters, see what else we have. Like, oh. Shang-Chi? Oh, that's how you pronounce it, but okay, we'll just go with that. Yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah. You know, I think that's kind of what it was, because it's like, you knew that, like they're building up to, like, their new Avengers, and, like, that's that thing. It's like, dude, it's going to be Spider-Man and Black Panther. That's going to be, like, almost like our new Iron Man and Captain America. And then he dies. It's like, shit, we got to find somebody. We got to find somebody. We're just going to try it out. Let's get Shang-Chi. Like, now I almost feel like, it sounds weird, but Shang-Chi might be almost like one of like those like main characters now because of that. It's almost like, it's like now like a slot opened.
That's true. I mean, it's still all up in the air. I hear mixed things. I hear people saying like the next Black Panther, they're taking T'Challa off the board and it's going to focus more around all the supporting characters, which, well, it's not Black Panther then, is it?
They should literally just game a death that movie. They should. They're like,
with no footage film so far.
There's just like home video clips that they put in of him. Has nothing to do with the movie.
What do you think? T'Challa just cut to some footage from 1996 at a birthday party. I think, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to make light of it. I think, I would have loved to see, Chadwick Boseman play off, going off what you said, Spider-Man and Black Panther is kind of be the two new leads of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
I would have loved to see that and see, Chadwick Boseman, calm your ass down, white boy. I would have loved to see that at some point, but...
yeah, kids, half his age fucking giving him orders.
Oh, it wouldn't be that way. It would be Chadwick Boseman, the way they had it set up, they're probably setting up to be the future leader of the Avengers.
And then Spider-Man to be the sort of the mascot character, I feel.
Yeah, I feel like they probably would have made them they more so to Tony Stark, but I think they were probably going to go Spider-Man being kind of your Iron Man type character. Not literally all that, but just kind of a little bit of that.
Like science and, the gadgets and things like that. Suits and things.
And even though T'Challa has, suits and some gadgets, you could be more the Captain America type. Even though they have Anthony Mackie as the new Captain America, too. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not necessarily, as Captain America, but just, that archetype for, the characters in the story. You know what I mean?
I may cut you off. That'd just be such... Just those three so far, I know they get more characters on there, but that's just already such an awesome team. Anthony Mackie, Captain America, Black Panther, Spider-Man, just those three right there. I mean, Shang-Chi, then, I don't know, you could oddball it if you want to throw, not even Doctor Strange, if you want to throw Wong on there, just really make confused people. Wong and Abomination, just really do, because every so often...
They could almost be your Groot and Rocket.
Every so often they do that thing where it's kind of in a comic run, they'll do the thing where suddenly it's okay, we're going to try and make it a little odd for a minute. So Lex Luthor is in place of Superman and Captain Cold is in place of Flash. Mm-hmm. What? It's not forever. It's just going to be for the next five issues, but it just makes a weird dynamic. I can see them doing something kind of like that, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that'd be kind of cool. Because I was almost it was just after watching this, it kind of made me think, man, that actually would be kind of a... I know there'd be those people out to be like, what, there's no Captain America, no Iron Man, no Thor, no Hulk. I'm like, well, you would use Hulk as he's the older wise man to the group in a sense. You know what I mean? He's the guy to kind of if anyone has questions or something, they go to ask him. And then he comes in once in a while and you know punches shit up. But I felt like just having this I think that buildup of what they almost kind of had planned until the Black Panther death kind of came around. But I think that would have been just this really cool group that would have totally worked too. And it's still I think it's gonna work too. I mean, it's just one of those ones. Now you gotta have Spider-Man and somebody else. But now I guess you almost have Spider-Man and Shang-Chi almost the same age. So it's you almost don't have your old character yet unless you bring back somebody else. But I mean, all the new ones.
I mean, Anthony Mackie's not that old, but he could be a little bit more of him. And then you have Carol Danvers; she's probably a member of the Avengers.
Yeah, she would. She's the other one that would actually be the real big one. Is Miss Marvel and so on. But yeah.
I was gonna say real quick, just about going back to Chadwick Boseman for a second. Not that I just want to dismiss him. Just get someone else because he did do a great job.
Oh yeah, he was really good in that.
Yeah, he did a great job, but at the exact same time, I think he's too important of a character to just we'll make his sister Black Panther. We'll make some other person Black Panther. I think they really, not to discredit him, and you don't have to do it this next movie, but maybe a movie later, Black Panther 3, whatever you do, maybe just recast somebody as T'Challa. Not to dismiss Boseman, but I honestly think he's just too important of a character not to be there. You know what I mean? Because he's been the one and only, as far as I know, he's been the one and only Black Panther. I mean, maybe there's been an issue where someone else took the mantle for a second, but he's only been the real Black Panther for the entire history of the series, as far as I know.
Yeah, well, it's that thing that's too, all of a sudden, the last handful of years, people have a hard time almost doing the thing, back in the day, it's just you could change actors out, it's like the 007 thing, you know what I mean? At some point, the actor's gonna get kind of too old anyways, and you're just gonna kind of replace him, but it's the same character, and it just keeps continuing on, but all of a sudden, in recent years, where, you think we'd actually be a little bit more, keen on being hey, that's okay, you can change an actor out, we get it, it's a character, we almost have a separation between character and actor. and so on. But now people almost have like such a hard time like accepting that, that you can't just like come in there. I mean, some characters do, like Hulk. Mm-hmm. And nobody questions that one.
Well, I think they're like, well, how many people saw Incredible Hulk anyway? Yeah, we'll get by. You know, but at the same time, though, I honestly think, aside from just trying to come up with, like, explanation of why, for the next Spider-Man movie and all this other stuff, the whole multiverse thing, I honestly think that's a reason so they can reach in and, like, if they want to get a new... not just a new Captain America, but a new Steve Rogers or a new Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they got the multiverse thing. So
yeah.
You still have the integrity of, this is Robert Downey Jr.'s last time as Iron Man. That guy died. You can still have that integrity, but then still go and grab someone else to come in the place of that if you need to. I don't know if they are going to do that, but I think as, you know, don't get me wrong, I love Endgame. And if I had to be 100% honest, I think Endgame is probably one of my... maybe one of my top 15 favorite movies, actually. If you, you know, but because I can't find no real problems with that movie. But that said, the one thing is, you watch that movie like, well, you're never gonna see like Wolverine talk shit to Tony Stark. You're never gonna see Steve Rogers with Mr. Fantastic or Human Torch. But then like, but maybe if you're doing this whole thing where there's a multiverse, you can just reach in. Maybe we can eventually get those team ups. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Or they could also just do them the old-fashioned way, where you just put it together in like a different kind of... doesn't always have to be such connected universes.
Yeah, I know.
That's not really the Marvel way. Is Marvel way is like everything must be connected, you know? But it's I kind of like when like it's not everything has to be exactly connected. Like some things can be sort of its own unique world and so on.
I'm waiting for them to do like a Rick and Morty thing where you're watching a movie and then everything goes to complete shit at the very end, and you're like, did they really just do this? And then you realize you're watching like a multiverse movie, like something that comes up lets you know that.
Yeah, I just kind of give it one of those ones where it just kind of goes extreme, and then yeah, it sort of restarts. I don't know, I guess they could do that too. They could do the old like New 52 type thing and just
Not even like a New 52 thing. I mean, like, that's where like the people from the movie we've been watching come in like, what the fuck happened, you know?
Yeah. You know, yeah, yeah. You could do that, something like that, too. I don't know. There's many ways you can kind of go about in there. And, yeah, I think it's one of those ones. Whatever kind of lines up, I mean, these last handful of Marvel movies, since there hasn't been a ton of them, have been pretty, you know, good all in all. Black Widow, Shang-Chi, and so on like that. It'd be interesting to kind of see. They're at that period where, like, they're going to kind of, like, you know, play it out for a couple of years with, like, kind of the smaller characters and then come big and bad, you know, later on. But...
well, I guess a lot of them are coming out all at once since we are already a year behind.
It's like a build-up.
Yeah, we're already a year behind because of COVID, and then top that off with, like, all the shows. All right, we'll put the shows out quicker. And then, like, shit, we already ran through all the fucking shows we filmed? okay, we got to get on this now. All right, the Black Widow, Shang-Chi.
Eternals.
And then, yeah, all, like, back-to-back. Like, each one, like, being every other month, it's, like, Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
So, that's four movies in 1 year. Or the point where just one movie a year or two movies a year?
Now yeah.
It's 4 a year.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's like, yeah, almost like almost a quick overload. But, I mean, I guess it kind of makes up because you didn't have anything like the previous year. I don't think, at least.
I'm kind of curious about Eternals. I know very little about them, but I know they're created by Jack Kirby. And they're basically the Marvel version of New Gods.
Yeah.
So I'm a little curious about that because... even though sometimes New God comics are a little hard to kind of, like, get into because the writing is kind of dated, the artwork is awesome, and the concepts are awesome. That's why I like the Mr. Miracle book by Tom King so much. But, that's why I'm a little kind of, I'm kind of curious about Eternals. And plus, Kevin Feige said this. I don't know, not saying this alone makes me want to see it, but I want to know why he said this, why he thinks this. He was like, I honestly think Eternals could be our first, like, movie that gets us a best picture. And I'm like, what? Okay. I want to know.
Yeah. I saw the trailer. I hate to sort of say it. It looks kind of like any other kind of generic superhero movie. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but...
I mean, it looks interesting. I still want to see it. But at the same time, I'm also kind of like, what does he know that we don't that makes him think that this is going to be an Oscar contender. And not that being an Oscar contender, he's like, makes
this
it
is
good.
What happened. All the old fucks that used to vote on the Academy Awards have all passed away. That's how I fucking know it. Because that's always how it feels like with the Academy Awards. Is like you just gotta get, you gotta like weed out the old people, and then like that's when it changes up for a second.
So one year, well, so like maybe like 15 or 20 years from now, we'll having like, and Best Picture is Old Man Logan, or like Dark Knight Returns or something, and then they'll be like, oh, they finally fucking did it! They fucking did it!
Like, and then there'll be some fucking kids like, oh, it's fucking this shit again, these fucking old fucks, and their Dark Knight Returns this, and Dark Knight Returns that, like, oh, so sick of it.
God. Yeah. No, yeah, but, Shang-Chi was pretty fun. I liked it. I might need to see it again. The more I'm thinking about it, I liked it a little more, but I just wish the fights went on a little longer.
Yeah, well, that's how I kind of felt, too. It's like, you know, it has cool action, and it's not that there's not, like, a ton of action, but, it, yeah, there could be just, almost in a sense, it sounds weird, there could be a little bit more kind of kung fu in there, and martial arts and so on. And I know that maybe it's that thing that they're afraid that too much of that might scare away the average person, because I know that's a lot of times the reason why if people don't like martial arts movies, it's because they have too much action in them. That's the thing that scares them away, so I felt like they probably were trying to play it a little bit safe, you know? But the backstory stuff was cool, the characters were cool. I don't know. All in all, I had a pretty fun time with it. That's what I felt.
Yeah, because the last part of the movie, it's like, yeah, sure, we cut to Shang-Chi and the Mandarin fighting, but then we also, like, majority of that whole big battle, you're watching like CG dragons fight and people firing bows and arrows at monsters, and we see the soldiers fighting each other for a minute, but it's mostly just like, let's fight CG monsters, which that was still entertaining, but I was just like, let's go back to the punching. But you know, all that said, still a fun movie. I totally digged it. I look forward to a sequel.
One thing,
they should have swapped the credit sequences. The one where the sister takes over is the Ten Rings. That should have been the first one.
Yeah.
The follow-up should have been the one where they see Wong.
Yeah, exactly, because I felt like that was kind of like, yeah, it's almost like they gave like the one that's like you should be waiting around for. I don't know. Maybe they just were afraid that if they put it the other way, people would walk out after they saw one and just be like, oh, that must be it then.
People still do that. These movies have been coming out for like 15 fucking years now or something, and people are still fucking walking out like as soon as like Directed By pops up. Like, dude, you don't, you have the fucking internet, right?
I don't
want to be that guy. I don't want to be that, like, you don't know, old man, but you know,
some people I think just don't care enough. It's just like, whatever. It was probably like, I don't get every single time they have that end credit scene, I have no idea what the fuck they're talking about.
I was like, I had one of the dumbest fucking families like sitting next to me when seeing the movie. It was like there was a family, and like whenever subtitles came on, like the parents were reading the subtitles for the kids.
Oh God.
And it wasn't like a little kid, it was like, you know,
8-year-old.
Yeah.
Mama, and what does that mean?
And somebody was doing the thing where, like, okay, if you like lick your fingers after eating something, okay, whatever. I prefer you do it when you're alone. I don't want to see it. Just looks weird. But at the same time, when you top it off with the,
oh, just like going to town at it, just like getting like, I want every morsel of butter. I want
getting
the
all the shit and getting all the shit beneath their fingernail and whatever. Yeah, I'm just like, it makes me want to skull fuck something out of hatred.
It's just like, dude, what the fuck? Well, I kind of wanted that too, because it's like they actually had probably more subtitles than like an average American movie would have, like especially right off the bat. Like, I mean, it has like subtitles for like the first like 10 minutes or so. I'm like, I bet you some people walk out because I bet you they think that's going to be the entire movie is subtitles. You know what I mean? Because that bothers. Like for me, the majority of movies I watch, I literally read because I watch more movies. I realize in different languages, and then same with video games. Like I never play video games unless they're like generally in Japanese or something like that. Like never put the fucking English tracks on or anything like that. So I'm so used to reading things that's like the norm. It almost throws me off if they do actually fucking talk, you know. But I bet you there's some people that walked out because of that, because they're like, oh shit, this movie's gonna be all this. God damn it!
I don't go to the movies to read.
Yeah, like that kind of old-fashioned kind of thing and so on, but But yeah, I actually kind of like that they actually had more subtitles in it than like you expect. Cause, like many times they would just kind of skip past that and so on. But
I was able to trick myself to think I was watching a kung traditional kung fu movie for a second when they were doing that.
Yeah.
But I totally dug this movie. The more talking about it, the more I like it a little more. Like,
yeah,
it's probably within like the Marvel films. It's probably somewhere. I mean, before I'd be like, that must be low, but now there's what 20 something of these. It's probably somewhere in like the top, like 10 to 15 for me. But it was a fun movie though. I really dug it. So
yeah, I'd say about the same with me too. Like I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than a lot of the other ones. So yeah, good stuff. Go check that out. Support having kung fu movies, in cinemas. Maybe this will hopefully lead into the more stuff. I don't know. As long as people kind of get used to kind of maybe martial arts again, maybe this will start bringing back actual traditional ones. That's all I can hope for.
Yeah, and we'll be getting back to the Evangelion movie series after this episode, so yeah.
Yeah, continue that up. But yeah, all that good stuff. You go to oldmanorange.com for podcasts, comic books like Pizza Boys, old animations, and all that fun stuff. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
We'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.